Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley. This is the complete recording of the 9 a.m. worship service.
Good morning. And welcome to worship this last Sunday of the calendar year 2019. Advent was a time of waiting for us. Christmas Day, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, a time for celebration. Today, on this last Sunday, we join together our voices in joyful worship of the living and true God. So wherever you are on life's journey, wherever you are in following the way of Christ, you are welcomed into the worship of God, the living and true, revealing God. And so if you would stand, I guess you don't take your bulletins, look up on the screens and join with me in our call to worship. Let us go in heart and mind to see what has come to pass. Let us go with the shepherds. Let us go to find the Savior. Let us go with the wise ones. Let us go to find God's promise born for us. Let us go with the poor and the humble. Let us go to find our King, born in a lonely manger. Let us go with all the world, with all the peoples of the nations. Come, let us worship. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Today we celebrate in Jesus our Lord, we who sin that we may be free through God's forgiveness. And so let us confess our sins in our corporate prayer of confession that is printed up on the screens. At the end of this, we will have opportunity for personal confession, and I invite you to take a few moments to do that. But let us pray this prayer of confession together. God of love, all year long we pursue power and money, yet you come in weakness. All season long we covet great material gifts, when you alone offer what is lasting. Through the work of this Lord Jesus, who comes among us full of grace and truth, forgive us, heal us, correct us. Then open our lips that we may sing your praise with the angels and remake our lives that we may witness to your transforming love. Hear us now as we pray silently before you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord's grace is sure. God has looked with favor upon God's people and has redeemed them. God has raised up a mighty Savior from the house of David. God has shown mercy and has remembered God's promises. Friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and are being made whole. Amen.
We are grateful and we are so happy to have Sophia Meals here, who is going to be baptized. Sophia is a junior at Cal at Davis, and we have gotten acquainted over the last year, and I have had the privilege of mentoring Sophia, and she has responded to God's call in her life and says, I want to follow Jesus. So, first of all, Sophia, do you desire to be baptized?
I do.
All right. And I have a few questions for you that I will give to you, and then Janice will have a question for the congregation. Janice is our elder from Session. So first of all, Sophia, do you turn away from sin that separates you from the love of God?
Yes, I do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Do you intend to be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love to your life's end?
I do.
All right. Janice?
Do you
As members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Sophia by word and deed with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church. Do you? We do.
Let's do that once more. We do.
We do.
All right. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of baptism in this water, that we are buried with Christ in his death, and that we have the amazing promise that we will rise with him in resurrection. We pray now, Lord, that you will, by this water and by the power of your Holy Spirit, seal that promise for Sophia. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. So, Sophia Elise Meals, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sophia, child of the covenant, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. May the Lord God of the universe, who created you and loves you, be with you every day of your life and walk with you by his Spirit and protect you from all evil and turn your heart to the good. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So we are delighted to present to you Sophia, child of God, daughter of this congregation, and during this time of greeting one another, let us greet one another with Christ's joy and peace. Amen. Yeah.
Good morning, and again, welcome to worship here at First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley. Each of us is here this morning because we have been called, perhaps by a family member or a friend, perhaps by obligation or just our routine, maybe by a deep hunger in our heart, but all of us by a God who is longing to draw near to us and who has already come to us in Christ, whose birth we celebrated on Christmas. So whether you are a longtime member of this community and have called this place home, or you're a guest with us this morning, we hope that you experience Christ's love and especially Christ's hope in this season and always among us this morning. If you are a guest with us this morning, or if you need to update your information with us, we would love for you to fill out a Connect card, which you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. If you slip that in the offering plate as it goes by, or better yet, visit us at the welcome cart at the back there. Members of our hospitality team would love to connect with you, to get to know you, and help you explore where you might best connect in our community. Maybe in one of our middle hour communities, maybe over lunch at our meal called The Table. They would love to connect with you. And all of our middle hour communities and our lunch will actually resume next week. But they would still love to meet you and help you explore where to connect. Here at First Press, we do believe that church is not just what happens within these four walls on a Sunday morning, but is actually about being formed as a community to love God, to love others, and to love the world more deeply. And so all that we do, all of our life together, our programs, our events, our classes, our finances, are there to nurture that love. And as you'll see in your announcement bulletin this morning, there are a number of opportunities coming up to grow in our love, and there's also a year-end financial update. As you can see, there is a significant gap in our year-end giving and our year-end budget, and so if you have not yet closed out your financial pledge, or if you are able to give a special gift this season, we invite you to prayerfully consider doing so. And in the midst of this, we give thanks, and we are not anxious, but we are steadfast, and we are grateful for your stewardship, particularly your financial stewardship of the ministry and mission of God here at First Press in past seasons and in this season. And we look ahead with joy and with hope to the financial stability and to a new ministry year in 2020. So with that, I invite us to join our hearts together in prayer as we look to this new year of life and ministry. And I invite you to join me in closing with the Lord's Prayer using the language or tradition of your own heart or the words on the screens behind me. Let's pray together. Holy God, in this new year, we seek you as we have always sought you. We need you as we have always needed you. We hunger for your presence as we have always hungered for you. And we long for your healing, your peace, your justice and love. Lord, as we draw close to this old year, worn and tired, help us take with us its wisdom, but let go of its despair. Enable us to live into the year that lies ahead with fresh energy and hope and vision. Empower us to be strong and have courage because you are doing something new. Open our hearts afresh and anew that we may love unbounded. Open our minds to be curious that we may know you and others more deeply. Open our hands that we may care for you wherever we find you. Open our ears and eyes that we may hear and see you in our neighbor, in the foreigner, in the refugee, even in our enemy. And perhaps especially, Lord, that we may see you in ourselves, that we may know in the deepest part of ourselves that you call us and that we are capable of seeing and naming, doing and being your love, your peace, your hope, and your justice in this your world. So Lord, hear us now as together we join our voices with sisters and brothers throughout the world and centuries in the kingdom prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Before we take this morning's offering, I've been asked to introduce the offertory. It's the first time in 3 years that I've been here that I've been told by the worship director what to play for the offertory, besides the worship director. But anyway, most of you know that in 6-7 weeks from now, I'll be moving to the Netherlands to take a church job there. And the offering this morning was a special request made because a handful of the staff have Dutch ancestry, including Deleanne, who's preaching today, was born in the Netherlands. And so my offering this morning is called Ere Zij God. It means glory to God. It's taken directly from the passage in Luke 2, and it is the most well-known Christmas carol in the Netherlands, sung every year with much gusto. And in this arrangement by Jan Zwart, you'll hear fanfares of glory to God, and especially at the end, the final 8 measures or so, you'll hear a final statement, fortissimo, glory to God in the highest, in the highest, in the highest. And then as if Jan Zwart was writing for the text, brings the registration way down to peace on earth and goodwill to all people on whom God favors. And so this is Ere Zij God. May the ushers now come forward.
Thank you.
Chad, thank you for that magnificent offertory. When I moved to this country with my parents, who were immigrants, I was 5 years old. But I do remember that hymn that Chad played, that my parents knew the words of that chorus, and "Ir Asaychot," which is glory to God. And my mother especially sang it at that time. Well, so during Advent and leading up to Christmas, we've had a series of really inspiring sermons on hope, on audacious hope, and the hope that Jesus Christ brings at this time of the year, at Christmas time. And I hope that this season of Christmas is giving you new hope, whatever area of your life, that is giving you new hope, a hope for a new beginning, the possibility of a new beginning for your family, maybe for a friend, for someone you know, for yourself. So to transition into the new year, I wanted to choose something that would have to do with blessing as we go into the new year. And on this last Sunday of 2019, and that last Sunday of this decade, I've chosen a text that you all are very familiar with. I think you've heard it more than any other scripture. You're probably as familiar with this scripture as you are with the Lord's Prayer. It is a blessing that you hear many times at the close of worship. And you've heard, it's called the priestly blessing, Aaron's blessing, and it's when the minister, when she or he raises her arms to bless the congregation. And probably these words have stuck with you because you've heard them often, probably stuck with you more than a sermon has. So let's read the scripture for today. It comes from, in the Old Testament, number 6. Verses 24 through 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." And then from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Luke, it's at the very end of the Gospel of Luke when Jesus is ascending into heaven. When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for these words in Scripture that you've given us and that speak to us by your Spirit. We pray that as we spend a few moments reflecting on them, that you will give us a deep sense of how you bless us and what they mean to us in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So at the end of the year of 2019, I always find that it's a good time to pause and reflect. In just a few days, it will be a new year. And for some of us, it's been a really good year. And for some of us, maybe it's been a bit of a more difficult year, and things didn't always go the way we wanted, and there were some troubles in our life. And for some of you, I know you might feel like, especially at the end of the year, when the year turns into the new year, we feel like, okay, we have a fresh start, we're going to start all over. I'm going to try harder, I'm going to be better. I am going to do more to stay healthy and to reach those goals that I've set. You decide to do more and be more and do even more. And then you realize that you are tired because it's the end of the year. And I think the gift that we need at the end of the year is this blessing that God gives to us. It's a blessing that God gives, and all that we have to do is receive it. After all the excitement of Christmas and the gifts unwrapped and the gatherings of family, we enter this new year and we need God's love and care. And this blessing reminds us of God's promise of love and care that will be faithful. Of all of the things that the Israelites needed the most, this ragtag band of migrants that God was dealing with and who were being led by Moses and Aaron at this time, they needed God's blessing. And of all the things that Mary and Joseph needed after the birth of Jesus, and now after in danger when wicked Herod was going to slaughter the infants, what Mary and Joseph needed was God's blessing and protection. This painting is the painting of the flight to Egypt. And you can imagine that Joseph and Mary were given that message by an angel to flee for the safety of the child. And what we desperately need, too, is this blessing of God as we go into the new year. So what I'd like to do is just briefly talk about what this blessing means. The words are so familiar, they slide over us. But I want to pause and think about what they mean theologically, and then how we can incorporate blessing into our lives. First, just a few observations about the text itself. As you know, it's from the Hebrew, and when we translate from Hebrew into English, we miss some of the details. And one thing we miss is that this is actually, these three lines are a perfect poem in Hebrew. And because Hebrew language is very compact, it leaves out vowels. Each line progresses with syllables. The first line is only three words. The second line is five words, and the third line is seven. So it progresses from three to five to seven, seven being the number of completion. We don't see that in English, but it's there in the Hebrew. And then there's more. If the Hebrew syllables build, there are 12 syllables in line 1, 14 in line 2, and 16 in line 3. So there's this symmetry and movement to a crescendo, which, as you know, ends in that word shalom, give you peace, shalom, in the third line. The other observation is that this is a really ancient and old blessing. It has been centrally important to God's people. In 1979, there were archaeologists who found in the Hinnom Valley, just outside of Jerusalem, they found these little amulets. They're like beads with holes drilled through them. And on the amulets were some of the words of this blessing. So this was the 7th century BC, before the Israelites went into Babylonian exile. Even before the Dead Sea Scrolls, this prayer, this blessing, was ingrained and was so beloved by the Jewish people that people wore it, an amulet, close to their heart. Third observation, the content of this blessing, the theological meaning, the depth. In the Old Testament and in the rest of Scripture, giving someone a blessing was more than just wishing them well. No, it was a blessing made something happen. A blessing was something that you do. When you bless someone, you are doing something. You give another person spiritual food. Think of the blessing that old Isaac was fooled into giving to Jacob, who was not the firstborn. But he was fooled into giving to Jacob instead of Esau. It gave something very significant to Jacob, which he coveted, which he wanted. It passed the blessing of the firstborn child. It was a spiritual blessing, but the firstborn blessing was also something very tangible. So it is with this blessing. When the priest raised his hands and spoke these words to the people, it was more than just words or a formality. It was something that the priest was passing from God to them. So what was the meaning then of this, what was being passed to the people from the priest? Well, there's really, if you look at the three lines, the Lord Adonai is the subject of all three lines. That word Adonai is in three lines, just like we have in English. And each line tells us there are two things that God does for us. And what are those actions? In the first line, God blesses and keeps. These two words are a pledge that the Lord will keep us safe, keep you safe, that his hold on us will not be broken. And that word keep is the same word that's used in Psalm 121, which says, "The keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." God will guard you and not fall asleep on his watch, as human beings are prone to do. Of course, that doesn't mean anything bad will ever happen. We know, on the contrary, bad things, hard things do happen. But it means that in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the deepest struggle of life, God is holding on to you and will not let you go. And the second line says that the Lord will make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This word face from the Hebrew, panav, of Yahweh, doesn't mean that the God, the divine God, has a body and a face. It's a metaphor, and the Hebrew scholar Robert Alter has translated this to say, "May the Lord light up his face." The image here, if you can imagine it, and you've seen it, is when a parent lifts a baby into the air like this and smiles, and your face becomes radiant. You hold that baby up in the air, and the baby starts giggling and looks you right in the eye. That's what God does. God's face lights up when he sees us, and he holds up there and says, "I love you. I'm so proud of you." That's what we do when we have a baby, a child, don't we? God's care is not motivated by duty, but by love. And that love spills over into grace, which continues and never runs out for us. All the richness of God's love and blessing of God's love for us are in this blessing. And then line three, "May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." You probably have heard this also said this way, "May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you." And there's a good reason for that, because the verb turn, yisa, it also has the connotation of lifting. The Lord lifts with you. So the turning of God's face implies that God will help you. And not just by observing you and guarding over you, but actually helping you lift whatever it is you are carrying, whatever trouble you're carrying. This blessing also points us to the one who will raise his hands over us on the cross so that we can find life, true life, and salvation. Emmanuel, God with us, is the one who let his face be spit upon and was crucified for us. And from our New Testament perspective, God gives us Jesus the Messiah, who talks about this burden. He says, "Come to me, all you who are worried and carrying heavy burdens, and I will help carry that burden with you." The blessing ends in the third line in shalom, peace. This is not just cessation of war and violence, but shalom means your flourishing, your completeness, your wholeness, which is what God desires for each one here. You're flourishing in the new year. You're flourishing in all the talents God has given you and the responsibilities and your wholeness. The power of this blessing is summed up in verse 27, where God commands the priests, and he says, "You will put my name on them, and I will bless them." The blessing puts a name on the Israelites, and this blessing puts a name on us. The blessing is not just words. The words mean that God puts the name of beloved, my child, forgiven, on all of us. How then can we incorporate this blessing into our life? How can we do this for each other? Even when we are dealing with situations that we don't know what our next move should be. I know as a pastor and as a grandparent and now as a mom and now a grandparent too of a puppy that my husband and I are trying to take care of, and while our daughter and her family are away, you'd think I would know always, you know, what to say or do, but I don't, not always. I will often pray, of course, because praying is good, and looking around at all of you, I know that many of you are very good at praying for each other. And that's a good thing. But there's another thing that you can actually do, and that is bless one another. Blessing is not a prayer, but it is kind of a prayer when you think about it. It's prayer put to action. So we need to practice blessing. Blessing that hard-to-love person. Bless especially when your heart might be confused or breaking. And there's a heartbreaking scene and a beautiful example of blessing in a novel that I've recently read in the last couple months. Well, I've reread it. This novel, maybe some of you've heard of it. It's Gilead by Marilynne Robinson. And in this novel, it's about the main character is an aging preacher named John Ames, who lives in a small town in Iowa. The book is written in John Ames' voice, who is writing this as a memoir to a young son that he has with his wife, who's half his age. He has this young son very late in life. But Jack is the boy that the story really focuses on, and Jack is the son of his best friend, also a preacher. And Jack is Reverend Ames' godson. The problem is that this Jack is full of mischief. And Jack sets the mailbox on fire. He paints the front steps with molasses. He's constantly pulling off pranks that are pretty serious. He's stealing booze. He's joyriding. And finally gets a girl pregnant and then abandons her. And eventually, after years of mischief and harm that this kid does, Jack comes back to town as an adult. And sometimes he seems ready to listen to the old reverend, the preacher, and sometimes he just sort of is downright rude to him. And Reverend Ames knows that he is conflicted between love and irritation towards this boy, even anger sometimes. Finally, the time comes for Jack to leave town, and Reverend Ames meets him at the bus station. And they sit together on a bench, pretty awkwardly. And even the Reverend does not know what to say. And this is what happens. "I didn't know how to continue the conversation, but I didn't want to leave him. In any case, I had to sit down on the bench beside him on account of my heart. So there we were. I said, 'If you would accept a few dollars of that money of mine, you'd be doing me a great kindness.' He laughed and said, 'I suppose I could see my way clear.' So I gave him $40, and he kept 20 and gave 20 back. We sat here for a while. And then I said, I think I would like actually to bless you. And he shrugged, what would that involve? Well, as I envisage it, it would involve placing my hand on your brow and asking the protection of God for you. But if it would be embarrassing, I know there are a few people on the street. No, 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 he said, that doesn't matter. He took his hat off and set it on his knee and closed his eyes and lowered his head, almost rested it against my hand, and I did bless him to the limit of my powers, whatever they are, repeating the benediction from Numbers, of course. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Nothing could be more expressive and beautiful than that, or more expressive of my feelings. Certainly, or more sufficient for that matter. Then, when he did not open his eyes or lift up his head, I said, Lord, bless Jack Ames Boughton, this beloved son, brother, husband, and father. Then he sat back and looked at me as if he were waking out of a dream. This is such a beautiful scene, isn't it? And it's rooted in grace and love. Not in the grace and love of the preacher himself, the old minister himself, but in the grace and love of God that was passed on to this Jack, sometimes very unlovable. Blessing is the practice to reach out and bless someone in the name of Jesus, and that is incarnating Jesus. So in the days ahead, and especially in this new year, may we bless that other person, even when the situation is difficult, when we don't know the whole story, when we're a bit confused. Bless especially when the future is still uncertain. Bless that person even when you're hanging on to hope by a bare thread yourself. Blessing is something you do. You put your hand on that person's brow or shoulder, and you pass on God's love and grace and love of Jesus. So how do we incorporate it? I would say college and university students, when you go back to school, when you leave home for a job, ask someone to bless you. It doesn't have to be the whole long blessing. It can be the Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Parents and aunts and uncles and sisters and brothers, when you don't know exactly what to say, then bless that child, that son or daughter, that stubborn sibling, that estranged relative. Even that hard to love person in your life, bless them with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. And with this blessing, remind each other that God names us as my child, my beloved, and forgiven. I hope that in the new year you will bless people. In the final chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the risen Jesus meets with his disciples in Bethany, and as he meets them, he is lifted up into heaven before their very eyes. And do you remember what he does? Luke tells us that he raises his arms and blesses his disciples. And Luke doesn't give us those words, the exact words in that gospel. But what words would Jesus speak to his disciples when he was leaving them and when they were grieving that leaving and when they were facing life with all its challenges on their own? And with what words, what blessing would Jesus give to people of every tribe and nation who bear his name going out into the world? It had to be this blessing, didn't it? The Jewish rabbi who had learned this blessing from childhood, it had to be these old familiar words of blessing. And in so doing, our high priest, our Emmanuel, God with us, blesses us as we go into the year 2020. The Lord God, Adonai, the Lord of the universe, blesses you and says, I bless you and keep you. I make my face shine upon you. I turn toward you and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen. I hesitate to ask you, but I think you're up for this. I've already blessed you. I've passed the blessing to you from the Lord, to you. So what I'd like you to do is just touch the arm or the shoulder of a person next to you and repeat the three lines of blessing after me, and in the end, I'll say, and all God's people said, Amen. And you could turn to each other and say it to each other, okay? All right, someone near you, or a huddle. All right, here we go, and I'll say it one line at a time. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen. All right.